Okay, kids, kids' church, kids, you can be dismissed. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Old Testament. And those of you that know me and have been around ERC for very long, you know that I do not speak from the Old Testament a lot, occasionally, but this morning is from 1 Samuel chapter 17. Jeff Mason is going to come and read scripture to us, but not in your Garth Brooks voice, right, Jeff? Garth Brooks? No. Jeff Mason, okay. Sounds like Jeff, Darth Brooks when he sings.
Thanks. Good morning. Today's reading is going to be from 1 Samuel 17:26, and it's David and Goliath. David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's older brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger and at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know he conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been fighting a man from his youth, a fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put on a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head, and David fastened his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off, and then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of the shepherd's bag, and with a sling in his hand approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come with me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give you your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with the sword and the spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the God, of Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give you the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and this whole world will know that there is a God of Israel. All those gathered here will know that this is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for this battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into your hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword, drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut his head off with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran.
Thank you, Jeff. I want to start with a quote that I have shared before. Some of you will catch it right away. I've used it on different occasions, but it serves very well, and it serves well today. Here's a quote. Who said, "No one is going to catch me, lady, and make me a man. I want to be a little boy and to have fun." Who said that?
Peter Pan.
Peter Pan. "No one is going to catch me, lady, and make me a man. I want to be a little boy and to have fun." Peter Pan did not want to become a mature man. His excuse, he wanted the pleasure and the security of only having fun. I believe a major problem in America, I can't speak primarily for other countries, even though I've been all over Europe and have preached there, I can really only address America. I believe a major problem in America, and quite possibly in the church, is one greater than this Peter Pan syndrome. I believe it is one of men and women who will not become what God wants them, which is to be a warrior as opposed to the cocooning life of a wimp. And I'm going to use wimp very loosely. I'll explain what that word means in a moment. But wimp primarily focuses on the person like Peter Pan that is worried only about their self-centered life, their security, and their safety. It is my burden that we would be a church filled with warriors. I'll explain that too in a moment. Warriors or men and women who are living the way God wants us to live. By posing that as a statement, then that begs the question, are there any biblical models for a study of men and women, and primarily for men, where they're warriors and not wimps? And the first one that comes to my mind is David and Goliath. That's a story that if you've grown up in the church or anything to do any extent with Christianity, that story is told. We tell it to kids in Sunday school, vacation Bible school, read it to them at home, and little Christian storybooks. I believe it's more than a story. I believe it really happened. There was a real Goliath, and there certainly was a real David, and David killed him. 1 Samuel 17 is a story about David and the giant Goliath. If you had read earlier, and we didn't read all of this, does anybody know how tall he was? 9 feet. 9 feet tall. Now, that's... I'm 5'6". Man, I still, though, Lord, I don't know if I can take him or not, you know, that kind of thing. It's a story about David and a giant, Goliath. And that's going to serve as a great model for our study of men and women, whether or not we're going to be warriors or wimps. It's for all of us. And as we look at this passage, I believe that there are three leading characters that we need to examine for a few moments. And the three leading characters are, first, David, a man after God's own heart that we find in the book of Psalms. David's going to be our model for a warrior. And then King Saul and David's brothers are going to serve as the model for the wimps. And then the giant Goliath is going to serve as the catalyst that will motivate us to be the warriors, the men and the women that God wants us to be. Now let me explain, when I say giant or Goliath, what that would represent for us today. We all face giants. We all face Goliaths in our lives. The Goliaths in our Christian lives represent anything that is anti-God and anti-Jesus Christ and poised to hurt us and our families and all that is good in God's righteousness. That covers everything, and let's bring it really down to home in where we live. That covers everything from addictions, substance abuse, drugs, alcohol, sexual immorality, greed, idolatry, laziness, evil, wickedness, etc., etc., etc. Everything that is anti what the Lord Jesus wants for us and our families. Goliaths, giants. How we respond to those giants will determine whether or not we are becoming God's warriors or we become self-centered wimps. So the question in front of us then is, what will you be in the face of your giants? Because the giants will come. They've probably come to some of you already. So I invite you to join me as we look at these three characters. Basically, we're going to look at David and then his brothers to see what they would teach us about whether or not we're going to be warriors or wimps. Two types of people here in the face of the Goliaths or the giants that we deal with in life. First are the wimps. Wimps. Those are people who cocoon into a self-centered life of fear and intimidation. Just pause and let that filter through your brain cells for a moment. Wimps, it wasn't a popular word in Jesus' day. I don't even know if they used it, but I'll explain how we have come to use that word in a moment. Wimps are people who cocoon into a self-centered life of fear and intimidation. Listen to some of the visible qualities that we find here about the wimps that are in this particular story, 1 Samuel 17. They are people that demonstrate this quality of being terrified and dismayed. Terrified and dismayed. Verse 17, listen to the words. Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now, you know where the word wimp comes from? It comes from the word whimper. Meaning, and if you check out the definition, it means to a display of fear and hiding. Wimp. Short for whimper, that has its root in a person displaying fear and hiding. The wimpy men, the wimpy people of 1 Samuel were hiding in fear and would not face the enemy. Oh, they knew the enemy was out there, but they weren't going to deal with it. People who are wimps in the face of their giants, and I've given a kind of my take on what giants would represent in our culture today. People who are wimps in the face of their giants are always fearful and hiding. They'll hide behind stuff. They'll hide behind drugs. They'll hide behind alcohol. They'll hide behind their spouse. They'll hide behind a photo image of stuff and toys and you name it. And they hide behind that. And all the while they're cocooning and they're fearful and they're dismayed. They can't deal with the giants. And they can't deal with this onslaught of all the stuff that's going on in their life. I just talked to someone this week. And I knew what I was speaking on today. And they were walking in circles, literally. Walking in circles. Oh, I can't deal with this stress. I can't deal with life. I can't deal with this. And if you ask them, what were they dealing with? Most of you would say, well, that's no big deal. Another quality of these wimpy people that we find here in 1 Samuel 17 is that they are people that have this quality of all talk and no action. All talk and no action. Verse 20 says about these men, and here's David. You can picture David, this young shepherd boy, coming down from the fields, and he goes and he wants to talk with his brothers. He brings them lunch and he wants to see the battle. But listen to the verse. It says these men went out shouting the war cry. I can imagine that one. The giant, the valley. And by the way, when Connie and I My wife and I were in Israel last September. The tour that we are on took us into that valley, and the tour guide is pointing out the valley, and he says, "That's where David killed Goliath." Man, that was one of the high moments of the tour for me, you know. And he shows this little brook. So here's these dudes, these wimpy guys. They go out with a war cry. They're shouting the war cry. A lot of noise, but not dealing with the giant. I hope you see that. A lot of armchair quarterbacks, but no one in the game or in the battle. And most of the wimpy people that I know are like this. They make a lot of noise about being, "Well, I'm not a bad husband, I'm not a bad wife, you know, I'm not a bad father, I'm not a bad mother, I do my job, I'm a good citizen, you know, I go to work," but they're living under this stress and they can't deal with life and they're afraid to face the giants. And they cocoon into fear and trembling and dismay. Make all kind of noise. I'm going to beat this thing. I'm going to bite the bullet. I can lick this. I can take care of it. But the first sign that the giant really rears its ugly head, they're looking for someone else to do the fighting. As I mentioned, Connie and I were back in Western Pennsylvania last week for the memorial service for her sister. And I got to drive around some of the roads where I grew up as a kid. And some of you know I like cars. Motorcycles have kind of taken over. But my real love is muscle cars, you know, and hot rods. And we did a lot of drag racing. I did a lot of drag racing, but never on a drag strip. You know, got a lot of car parts from Midnight Auto, that kind of thing, you know. So we're driving along some of these roads, and I'm talking to my son, who was oldest son and his wife, and then my son-in-law and my oldest daughter. And both of them like cars, and they grew up, you know, around me, and Camaros and hot cars, that kind of stuff. And I'd point out, "Well, see this road right here? Man, that was a drag strip right there. See this? This is where the end, and out there, that's where we started." And they'd go, "What? There's a curve at the end." Yeah, yeah. But we had an expression about cars. There were cars that were all show and no go. All show and no go. And we were more on the go side than the show side, if you know what I mean. Well, here's these wimpy guys. They're shouting this war cry. You know, they're whooping and hollering and yelling, and we're going to get... But they did nothing. Another quality that we see here are their grumblers. Verse 25 and 28. This is a very sad part of this story. There we find David's oldest brother Eliab grumbling and complaining against David. He actually does a very serious wrong, a very serious wrong thing, and he begins to judge David's heart. In verse 28, he accuses David of having a wicked heart. Oh, don't miss that. And he says, "David, you have a wicked heart. You've only come down here to watch the battle. You want to see the blood flow." Wimpy people have an uncanny way of judging other people by external appearances and not really knowing their heart. And that is quite Pharisaical, using the New Testament concept of the Pharisees that Jesus had to deal with. And it's quite Pharisaical, sinful, disgusting, and a sign of a wimpy person. Grumbling and wimpy people always blame someone else and something for their problems or the hand that they have been dealt in life. Just poor me, woe is me, look at my life. And they blame it on something else. They blame it on their spouse. They blame it on their kids. They blame it on their parents. They blame it on their boss, their jobs, their family, whatever. A big one that in my context as a pastor of 43 years that I cross is, I am what I am because of my father. Now, my father was a piece of trash, so I am the drug addict that I am today. That's the kind of stuff that I hear. And I go, "Yeah, sure, tell me about it." My father was an alcoholic gambler. and praise God because of God's grace, I am what I am today. See, I am a person could say, well, yeah, I'm a lazy wimp because my father was an alcoholic or my mother sissified me or whatever, and they want to blame it on some external thing. Blame it on their looks. Blame it on their height. You know, I can't play the NBA because I'm only 5'6". Poor me. Woe is me. You know, that kind of nonsense. They blame it on their skin color, their ethnic background, where they were born, where they were raised, you know. While we were in Pennsylvania last weekend, we went to see my mother, and I told most of you knew where I was going to see her, and she's 92 years old and a fantastic, godly Christian woman. But I'm telling you that her house that she gave to my younger brother, who never married, is like a house out of Tobacco Road. Really, it is. And I remember, and the thing that occurred to me as a kid growing up, and there were times where we lived in tar paper shacks because of the alcohol and the gambling, and I was so ashamed, never invited kids to my house. Now, as I became a teenager, yeah, the cars would hang out outside and mess with the cars, but never came in the house. And this past weekend, we were there, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm still ashamed of that. I'm still ashamed of the house. But again, I am what I am today because of the grace of God. Not because, well, I grew up and had nothing and lived in a shack and we didn't have running water and we didn't have electricity at times. We had nothing. We'd lose everything. Well, poor me, woe is me, you know. Wimpy people live in fear and they're all talk and no action. They grumble, complain, and blame others. Now, warriors. Let's look at David. Warriors are people who battle and destroy the giants. All those giants that are out there trying to destroy you. Verse 32, David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." There's a very important thing that we absolutely cannot miss here about David. It reveals several dynamic and visible qualities about God's warrior, those who will fight the giants that come into their lives. Warriors are people who have a right heart. In other words, plug it into New Testament language for us today. Those are people that have a right relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. David had that heart. David was a man after God's own heart. David had the right relationship to the Lord, and he knew the Lord, and he put the Lord first in his life. Everything flowed out of David's relationship to the Lord. You listen to his language. David doesn't come along, "Hey, I killed a bear and I killed a lion. Look how cool I am. You know, look, man, I am great." No, the Lord gave me. The Lord delivered. The Lord did this. The Lord did that. Because David had a relationship to the Lord Jesus. See, you will never. And if there's anything that I want you to take away from this morning, it's this next paragraph. You will never be the warrior God wants you to be until you have that relationship where Jesus Christ is Lord of everything. Everything in your life. And you maintain that personal and intimate fellowship with Him. See, you can be a Christian. You can know that when you die, you're going to heaven. And you can still be a wimp. Praise God, salvation is based on God's grace through faith, not of our works. But you can be a Christian and knowing that you're going to heaven, and you can still be a wimp in life when the giants come. Warriors have surrendered all to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you become His servants. How's your heart today? Is Jesus Lord of all? And I know from my own experience that right there at that point, it is so easy to go, yeah, Jesus is the Lord of everything in my life. He's Lord of everything, but. And you know what comes after the but? It can kill you. Let me put it in straight vernacular words. What comes after that but may be a butt kicking. See, Jesus wants to be Lord of everything. And I'll tell you, David was not going to go up against this giant apart from knowing that I'm following you, Lord. You can't go in there half-hearted. Goliath would have killed him. David didn't go in there cocky and arrogant. Man, I'm cool, man. I'm this wonderful shepherd. I'm the greatest shepherd on earth. Look at me. I killed a bear. I killed a lion. No. He went in there very humbly. We're going to take care of business because I come in the name of the Lord. And remember, the giants that come in our life may be addictions and substance abuse and drugs and alcohol and people and the relationships that we may have that are not right. Another quality we see here is that warriors are people of action, people that are engaged in spiritual warfare. And for us, the giant represented everything that came against Jesus, that's anti-God and anti-Jesus in our life. Listen to the language here in verse 48. I love this phrase. And it was so neat that when Connie and I were there on that bus tour, that there was this valley and the little brook. This next phrase. As the Philistine, meaning Goliath, moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Could you picture that? Here's the giant. David's, well, let me see. David takes off for him. I love that. This would be a face-to-face, hand-to-hand combat. Warriors are people of action. They will fight the giants. They're not all talk and no action. They are not all show and no go. They are on the cutting edge of the battle. They engage the enemy until he is defeated totally because the battle is the Lord's. And we can be victorious, but we must fight. Now let's let that drop for a moment. We must fight. Here's David. The battle is the Lord's. You Philistine, I'm going to cut your head off today. Can you imagine that? I ponder that very deeply. David said, I come in the name of the Lord, and you come against me in swords and javelins. And he said, today there will be no sword, there will be no javelin. I just come to you in the name of the Lord, and you're going to die because I'm going to kill you. The bottom line is that David had to fight. And there will be giants, substance abuse, alcohol, drugs. Say, well, Lord Jesus, just take the desire away, poor wimpy me. Will you do what Jesus asked you to do? Will you fight? And David fought. And he takes the stone out of the pouch. Did you ever wonder why he took 5 stones? Not one. He took 5. My own feeling on it, that's all the pouch would hold. It's probably as simple as that. If it held 6, it had taken 6. It's like you have a .357 Magnum revolver. How many does it hold?
6.
You don't put 7 in it because it only holds 6. So he had a pouch that held 5. That's my own personal little take on that one, okay? But he goes, and yes, he fights. And you know the story. It's not very pretty, and he kills the Goliath, the sling. And then he cuts off his head, and he comes back to Saul and says, Saul, it's all over. It's done. We won. They fled. What's he holding? Goliath's head. I don't like that part. I don't like that part. But that's what David did, a man after God's own heart. I am not encouraging you to cut off anybody's head. So don't read anything into that. But remember, the giant represents not people necessarily, but spiritual warfare. drugs, substance abuse, pornography, whatever it is, whatever that giant is, you've got to cut off its head. You got to get to the core. You can't just put little band-aids on cancer. And I know how some of those substance abusers think. They go to rehab, they go to a Christian rehab, and they come home and say, man, I can beat this thing. I can use a little cocaine once. I can do a little heroin once. Just give me one, and everything will be fine. Got to cut off its head. Got to get rid of it all. That's what he did to the giant. And then there was victory. So will you be a warrior or a wimp as you face the giants in your life? The giants are real. They will come for you. It's your choice of what kind of person that you're going to be. God's warriors are people of a right heart, a right personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are people of God's word. And this is the part that I skipped over this morning about David not using Saul's armor. They refused to use the wrong armor. They will refuse the wrong counsel. They will only follow the counsel of God's word. They are people of faith who learn to live in total dependence upon the Lord. And they are people of action who engage the enemy in spiritual warfare. For a number of years, the United States Marines advertised looking for a few good men. Remember the ad? Looking for a few good men. God is looking for a few good people, warriors, not wimps. And I trust that you will be that, because you will face the giants, but you can be victorious if you do it Jesus' way. Let's stand. We're going to close in prayer. Let's pray. Father, so awesome to know you that there is no giant too great for you, Lord Jesus, and we are willing to fight, but we know the battle is yours. And you will give the victory as we trust you. Father, as we leave this place today, let us breathe in your presence as we have sung, to live in the conscious awareness of you moment by moment, Lord Jesus. And we praise your wonderful name. Amen. Amen.